Prepare to be astonished!
It's that time again.
Let's get started.
From the Clatsop County Historical Society, an adventure in history with Matt Burns and Alana Quila.
You should never be allowed to talk to people.
Some people without brains do an awful lot of talking.
And now, with today's adventure, it's Mac and Alana.
Good evening, and welcome back to another adventure in history.
With a guest.
We had
like this
one.
Great run of great guests.
I know. We had a no-show.
Well,
and then
yes.
2 weeks of guests. I love it.
I wasn't going to rub it in their face.
I like to talk about it because, you know.
It's funny.
Yeah, it is kind of funny. Especially from a coach.
You know, one time before we had somebody that didn't show up and I pretended to be them for the interview. It was kind of funny and silly. And then the person laughed later. They said, well, I don't need to come on now because
yeah.
I told all my stories because I knew a few of them. So
probably better, right?
It was kind of funny. So we got nothing plugged, so we should get right to it.
Yeah.
Although, do we want to introduce Dan so he can...
Jump in if he wants to.
You
gave a hint. Dan, do you want to say something?
Name just some of the things you volunteered for. Just the names of the titles, and we'll see if people can guess.
I hope we have enough time. Okay. Astoria Regatta, I've done for 21 years. Retired from that. I do Nutcracker, the Little Ballet Theater, the Astoria Warrenton Chamber of Commerce, Lower Columbia Tourism Council, Key Clubs, and I also volunteer for the... fourth graders who come into Fort Clatsop.
Oh, so can you figure it out, folks?
That's a lot of stuff.
If you haven't, we have the esteemed Dan Arnoth in the room with us this evening. Thanks for being with us, Dan.
Welcome.
Hey, my pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah. All right, because there is so much to talk about.
Yep.
We got to whip
Let's
through
go.
These history highlights. So these are things that happen tomorrow, January 31st.
Yep.
So again,
Monday at the water cooler.
If you want to be smart or these are icebreakers. If you don't know how to relate to somebody and you want to start a conversation.
I'm going to bring them up to my six-year-old.
So, well, maybe not this first one. 1606, the death of Guy Fawkes.
Probably not.
A chief conspirator in the plot to blow up the British Parliament. Fawkes jumps to his death moments before his execution.
Oh, I saw that one, but I didn't see that he did that. That's
yes.
Interesting.
He avoided being
he
executed.
He avoided death. No. Not quite.
Yes. I didn't want to give him the satisfaction. 1876, the U.S. orders all Native Americans to move onto reservations.
Oh. Yeah.
That was nice.
Yeah. Tough.
Yeah.
Very sad.
1915, the first poison gas attack. World War I, Germans used it against Russians. Mm. Gas is just nasty.
Yeah.
I mean, not that I've ever been mustard gassed, but seeing photographs, reading descriptions.
Yeah.
What a horrible, horrible
use of science
thing to introduce into warfare.
Mm-hmm.
It's something you should learn because when I was in the Navy, training, you would go into a building that had that with the masks and everything.
Yikes. Mm. Did you ever get any that came through and like tear your eyes up and cough?
No.
Yikes.
The Navy had good masks.
That's good.
Okay, so this is the first fun one on this list. 1928. Scotch tape is first marketed by the 3M company.
Ooh.
Scotch tape.
Yeah.
What won't
Genius.
Those people from Scotland think of next?
We are enjoying their wares even here today. I see
yes.
Dan in a 3M.
I thought about making that the history outlet of the day. Because Scotch tape, I mean, come
yeah.
on.
Toots.
What I want to know is how did they tape stuff before then? Did they just glue it? Staples? I don't know. Let's see. 1944, D-Day is called off and postponed until June.
Oh.
Better weather. Better weather, I'm thinking. Because this is a terrible time of the year to try to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, what were they thinking? All right, 1968, the Viet Cong attacked the U.S. Embassy during the Tet Offensive. Mm. And this, too, is almost going to be my history highlight of the day because all of the newspapers, all the newscasters are saying, we're winning, and all the generals and everything, all the U.S. people are saying, we're winning, and all of a sudden, all across Vietnam, the Tet Offensive, including pretty much live footage of our embassy being taken over. And suddenly we're like, it's not working.
Right.
And Walter Cronkite, the voice of reason, says, it's not working.
Power of information.
It never worked there.
Never worked. 1990, the first McDonald's opens in the Soviet Union.
Oh.
They paid the equivalent of like 2 days' wages for like a hamburger.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
But our history highlight of the day, the thing I think had the most impact on history, 1865, the House passes the 13th Amendment, abolishing slavery.
Wow.
So how could I argue with that one?
Yeah.
That has to be the biggest one.
It is. You did miss one.
Anything?
Yep, just one. 1976. Ernesto Miranda, famous from the Supreme Court ruling on Miranda versus Arizona, is stabbed to death. Oh. So it's not the creation of the Miranda rights that is, it's named after him, but this is the day that he died. He was a bad man and had his...
And this is after.
This is after. So he had his court case overturned by the Supreme Court. Yes. And then he was tried again, but without the confession that he gave, and still convicted, thankfully, because again, he was a very bad person. Yes.
I wonder if whoever stabbed him got their Miranda rights read to them.
Probably, but 1976. I mean, that's really not that long ago.
It's not. It's very recent history in the big scheme of things.
Yeah, that you need, that you have rights, and you need to understand those rights.
And can you recite it?
No, and it hasn't ever been recited to me either, Mac. What about you?
That was going to be my follow-up question. How do you know it? Because we all watch so many TV shows.
That's true. Crime and Punishment. You have the right to remain silent.
You have the right to an attorney if you can't afford one. That's right. You have the right to an attorney if you can't afford one. One will be provided for you. And I don't know what else. Those are the only things I can remember.
Those are kind of the key points, though. Don't say anything.
Just if you get arrested, shut up.
Tell your lawyer.
Just don't say anything. That's right.
Now I know why my wife says that.
Yeah, see? History lesson of the day, folks.
So Dan, you've been involved in a million, at least a million and a half things. But... does anybody really know who you are besides a volunteer? So tell us your background story. Tell us where you grew up and how you made a living and how you got to be here.
Okay. My living was, I was a financial planner, and I became a PERS advisor and lobbyist specialist when I moved here. I was born in Staten Island, New York, raised in New Jersey. My dad sold his restaurants. We moved to California, graduated from high school there. Then I went looking for some kind of scholarship. California wouldn't give me any. So I went to Oregon and Washington. I won't mention the college that gave me the scholarship since I'm in Oregon. The other thing is I'm a financial planner. I'm retired. But I still lobby for PERS employees and help retire them and make sure they're on the right path. They know what, when you retire, you better realize this. And the biggest thing, I just retired 12 people from Port of Portland.
Wow.
Oh.
But it's fun. I enjoy it. You can talk to 72 to 80% of the teachers here.
And now it's very precise.
But the other thing is, I could now state, after the last retirement, I've retired every fire chief in this county.
Oh.
Wow.
But hey, it's fun. I enjoy it, and all the people I've met over the years.
But okay. So let's go back.
I was going to say, I want to back up a bit, because I did not know you were a New York, New Jersey guy.
No, me either.
Congratulations on losing the accent.
Yeah.
First and foremost.
Okay, one word you don't want me to say, idea or wash.
Oh,
I still have that.
So you have a good idea that maybe you should do the wash. I've been in meetings with you, and I've never picked up on it. So congratulations, Staten Island. What age were you there until before you moved to Jersey?
5.
Okay, so
four.
Do you have any memories of Staten Island or?
Yes.
Okay. Huh. What are some of those?
Back then there was not much on Staten Island, but whenever I watch TV and see that orange. What do you call them?
The ferry back
ferry.
And forth?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's how we used to get to New York.
Sure.
Okay.
Now, I don't know if you remember the tower building.
Mm-hmm.
I used to go there twice a year for Oppenheimer, and I got to see all the old things. New York is a lot different than when I was there.
Yes. Although the Staten Island Ferry is still a bargain because it's free.
Oh, nice.
If I remember correctly. And if you want a good view of the city... it's like a cheap date. It's like a good tourist activity. It's a fun thing to do.
You get to see everything, the water, the sights, the scenery. It's a fantastic
Statue
ride.
Of Liberty, best photo ops for that. So.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so then you moved to Jersey. Which exit?
Which exit? Highway 25, Route 1. It was Nixon, McCutcheon, New Brunswick. I lived in so many cities there. My dad buys restaurants, builds them up, and sold them back then.
Oh, wow.
Interesting. And so what precipitated the move then from East Coast to West Coast? That's
my
quite
dad's,
a haul.
Well, my dad had his heart set on moving to God's country, California. he sold his two restaurants and bought two in Ventura and Santa Barbara.
And had he ever visited before, or was it just this lifelong dream?
He was there
dream?
When he was a kid.
Oh,
with
okay.
his mom.
Right.
And then was it you and siblings?
Yeah, one brother.
One brother.
The two daughters have grown up and gone.
Okay. And so you stayed there. You knew you weren't going to stay in California.
Well, I had no choice. I couldn't get any California things to give me anything.
Yeah.
Finally got a scholarship for baseball and music in Washington.
Oh, yeah. And you played baseball.
Yes.
I do remember this.
Yes.
See, that was a Rotary
yep.
Trivia thing. Question years
right.
ago.
Yeah, I played baseball. Do you remember the guy who played for the Dodgers called the Penguin? He was on the farm team with me. He played second, and I played third. I played second. He played third. He got to the majors. I didn't.
Yep.
so you were actually in the minor leagues?
Yes, Santa Barbara.
Level? Is that double A, single A? What level?
That was double A.
Double A? Wow. That's amazing.
Mean, hey, look. I had the glove, but I didn't have a bat. And if you don't have a bat, you don't go anywhere.
Especially if you're trying to play third base.
Thank you.
Oh, how fun.
Wow. I played more second.
Okay.
So what did you follow? I mean, so there was a ambition right there. So sports.
Mm-hmm.
But did you go into education or finance?
Finance.
Okay.
Well, no. My degree was in accounting.
Okay.
I was a CPA at one time, but I got tired of telling people, like a doctor would say, you're going to die from cancer. You got a tax problem you owe. So what I wanted to do is, what can I do to make people plan and stay out of that?
Yeah.
Okay. The thing was financial planner, and that's what I became.
So before we get to that again, because you're jumping over things that are kind of cool here. You enjoyed sports, and did I hear music as well?
Yes, that was my other scholarship.
And what did you play, or what was your interest?
I played
there?
All string instruments, and I kind of phony playing piano.
Okay.
Even drums.
And were those? Obviously, if you played professional ball, that was a potential career goal. Was music a career goal, or was that just something?
That was the real you? Career.
Oh, goal. Interesting.
Anybody remember Wolfman Jackson?
Sure.
Was from Seattle. When I was in Seattle, we used to open for his concerts, the band I was in.
Oh.
I played music from 11 to 42.
What was the name of your bands back then?
Sonics.
The Sonics.
And then I had another one that I joined with. Wasn't mine. I just played bass for him.
And what was it called? I love band names.
I can't remember.
That's a terrible name.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
No, it was something.
It's going to come to you.
No, well, then all of a sudden I played with the slap bass, and they did a tour with a group that went on jazz festivals.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
Chicago, Lake George, all kinds of places.
Hmm. Wow.
And then ABC Paramount, you see that round building in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. I was what you call a studio musician who would go in there and record the singing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
That's amazing. So you got a degree, though, in accounting.
Yes.
And what is the transformation from those two other things to accounting? Did you just always like numbers? Did you like math?
No, here's what happens. I would have never got a college degree if I had to do English.
Mm-hmm.
Two of the professors, the accounting, because I took accounting as an elective, said, hey, we'll get you through. You're going to take public speaking and debate. I can talk, but I can't write. You could ask Charlene Larson. She says, Dan's a great talker, but I'm going to read everything he writes.
It's always good to have an editor.
Yeah. And by the way, you'll find out whenever I do anything, you know how I did the busing and everything.
Mm-hmm.
You find the right people to play third, second.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Get your team together.
Well, Dan and I went through Warrenton Rotary together. I was president, and then he was my vice president, and then president. So we had a couple years there where we really tag teamed it all.
Yes.
Because I was pregnant, and then I had a baby.
Yes,
so it was like,
I remember those days.
Dan.
So wait, were you board president when you were pregant?
I was.
Yes.
President?
And then I was
like Julie Flews with the Astoria Club.
Assistant governor for the region when I had a baby.
No.
So he was actually president of the club then. And so I'd go travel all around the North Coast, all the way down to Tillamook, carting my baby and my parents too. And Aaron would come. Aaron would go into all of our meetings with us.
Wow.
But yeah, that's we did a lot with Rotary.
But you didn't share the work we did during Crab Festival.
No.
We turned how the busing was around and it was enjoyable. I got to work with her dad a lot. And hey, there were some good years back then.
Yes, we did have a lot of fun.
Well, I kind of think both of you have fun with whatever you do.
We do.
Thank you.
So how did you get to Astoria?
Ah, I graduated from college and got a job in Longview, Washington as a CPA. Hmm. But that's when I got disgusted with what CPAs do. Not that they're bad, okay? Hmm. I want to make sure people realize how to stop these problems. Hmm. So I became a financial planner and worked it up. And all of a sudden, let's see if you guys remember this. I hope you will. Remember Astoria Oil?
Predates me.
Nope.
Were you here in 82?
No.
Oh, okay.
I hadn't even graduated from high school yet.
I was. I was.
Too. I was going to say, I remember your folks were here.
Yep.
But hey, Astoria Oil worked at the, had a big enterprise at the port. Mm-hmm. And Morrison and Knutson, who had that, established that company, I won the benefits program, the health and retirement. Mm-hmm. So I start servicing there. At first, I only come down once a week. Then I came down two. Then I came down three. Now, you got to remember, I was living in Longview. I was a single parent with two daughters starting high school, eighth grade and ninth grade. And I fell in love with our city, okay? Single parents needs help in school. So I moved here in 1986 and been here ever since, and I love it.
How did the kids take to moving?
They were happy because I'll tell you, all you parents who say the school's not there, it isn't. Mm-hmm. They are. I came in, I talked to all four school districts. Mm-hmm. I picked Astoria because 72% of the teachers were my clients. So I didn't have to be at the school, I got told. But if you want to know what's going on in the school, go talk to them. Talk to the teacher. Talk to the principals. Talk to them. I'll tell you, they're going to help you through it. Mm-hmm. Then, 10 years later, my one grandson was having trouble in California with my daughter. They sent her up here. I went to the school district, talked to them. They're there for you if you go talk to them. Yep. We have four wonderful school districts here. Talk to them. Your biggest thing is talk to them.
Yeah. So your girls both graduated from Astoria then?
Yes.
Yeah. I always worry when I hear like moving somebody that's in high school.
Yeah. Well, no. That's a tough one. Remember, one was a freshman and one was an eighth grader.
Okay.
So here. Matter of fact, Julie and there was two others were in the class with one of my daughters.
Oh,
oh fun.
So...
And she didn't corrupt them enough?
No, actually, they corrupted each other.
There you go.
And hey, by the way, since I was a single dad, I did a lot with the cheerleaders. I traveled with them. And the other things is when kids during the summer went for school, parents tricked me into taking them, which was no complaint. It was fun. Hey, we're in a wonderful area where if you talk to your schools, you got it made.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
beautiful for somebody to raise kids here.
It's a team effort. It's never the all on the schools. I mean, without that support from home, it's just not going to happen.
Oh, yeah. But if you definitely. Talk and work with them, they'll do everything for you. I don't care which district it is.
Yeah.
So jumping around to an ignorant guy like me, the PERS system has been in the news a lot in the last 10 or 15 years.
Yes.
So tell us why PERS is great.
It is up until now. I'll tell you reasons. I don't know if you notice it. Probably you would. Politically, we have a problem here. If we try to get a fire chief or a police chief, we can't compete with the I-5 corridor or the valley. Mm-hmm. So what we did is four other lobbyists and I went to have the PERS say, hey, if you're retired, you can come back in certain positions and fill it to 2024. Hopefully, you'll get to renew that.
Without a punishment.
Without a punishment. You don't lose your PERS.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then they said, okay, we'll do this, but you know we have financial problems. So now the PERS person who comes back has 6% held out, but it isn't theirs. It goes into the recovery account. So we made a deal. That's there. I'm worried about the future for PERS people because the new plan isn't as good as it used to be. Okay? Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I mean, I do a lot of work there. And number one, I'm going to give advice to everybody right now. When you retire, Social Security, you're going to get paid. Oregon doesn't tax you, but the federals do. You better talk to your accountant right away because you're going to get a shock if you don't hold out taxes.
Oh, yeah.
That's the biggest lecture I give to all the people I retire.
Yeah.
Wow. Sorry. I think we're dealing with free financial advice now on Adventure History.
Well, I think it's funny that you say you're retired, but you still work and you still have all these clients. So why do you say you're retired?
Okay, here's why. 4 or 5 years ago, I used to manage everybody's account. Well, gosh, I couldn't give advice. I was stuck watching the accounts. So I sold them. There's 4 other people who now do that. I just do the counseling.
Oh, okay.
And get them prepared for it. Mm-hmm. And that gives me more time, more people to reach.
Yeah.
So I am semi-retired.
So when did you start getting involved in nonprofits and sort of what led you down that avenue? Was it after your daughters had grown up and moved away? When did that passion start?
Okay. One thing I'm very passionate about is future is our kids. Children are our future. They're going to take care of all of us eventually. So you notice every program I named has kids involved. Just like, I don't know if you remember the Crab Festival. I got the key clubs coming in, cleaning up afterwards.
Yeah.
The bridge crossing, they do things.
That was one of my best ideas, by the way.
Yes.
Our idea.
Mm-hmm. No, I'll give you the credit because you asked, what do you want to do? I said, I can.
Seriously, we hired these kids to come in and clean up after hours.
Yes.
Not during the Crab Fest, folks.
And I always thought that was fantastic.
Oh, it was genius. They had all of this energy. There was like dozens and dozens of them. Dan and I were like knock dead tired off our feet.
And for the clubs, it's pretty good money for just coming in.
And they got a donation.
Yes. Yep. No, it was fantastic.
It was
great. Same thing we did with the Columbia Crossing. We did the same thing. The kids love it. They get part of it. Also, the kids go around different schools and do things. Okay, here's where Justin and I work. Here's where Justin and I work together. I've had his kids come in and do the weeding at the Warrington Community Center. Kids will do everything. Give you another history.
Remember, are pretty special kids, though. Kids that are involved with Key Club, service organization.
No, hey, that's why I participate. You get some of your fine future leaders there. Mm-hmm. Now I'm going to go back to Regatta. The reason I stayed so many years was not because of Regatta. It was the kids. The first year I was in Regatta, 1989, the queen there now is a senator for the California and Orange County. She does the Orange County Miss America and California. And then one of her girls went to Miss America.
Oh.
Nice.
But anything I do is with kids.
Interesting. How often do you ever go back to the East Coast? Does life ever take you back there anymore?
I used to go twice a year because Oppenheimer was in the Tower Building. Since the Tower Building's gone, they're in Denver.
Oh, okay.
But yes, I still go back there and we're there. When that attack on the Tower Building happened, we used to stay at the Marriott and the Hilton right next to it. We start calling the people we knew there.
Yeah.
So it was concern.
Yeah.
No, I haven't been back in 5 years.
Yeah.
But hey, it's not like it used to be.
No.
A little bigger, right?
Well, it's a lot different.
But Astoria is not the same either. I mean, you came here in the 80s. What have you noticed sort of the biggest change from then to now? I mean, other than the obvious, it too is bigger. But what have you noticed the change since from maybe your first perspectives when you came and visited here?
I'm proud. I'm proud of one thing. When I first came here in 1978, passing through because I was working with school districts, And in 82, our waterfront was terrible. I wouldn't send my worst enemy to it. But now look at it. I do things with people out of the area. I send films of it. We have a beautiful river walk. We should be proud of it. It's just fantastic.
And you were very proud. You mentioned earlier your video that you helped put together for Little Ballet Theater, which is Maddox Dance Studio, advertising this last year's 2021 production of The Nutcracker.
That's correct. But if you see it, I would recommend everybody to go on YouTube and look up LBT Clatsop County promo. It promos more than that. We did films with the dancers at different spots in the county, five spots. And the whole thing is promoting Astoria, Warrenton, and our county. I'm so proud of our area here. We should show it to the rest of the world. Here's where I'm thrilled. I had a look from Singapore, somewhere else in Asia, Tampa Bay, LA, Miami, Boston. Hey, our town is beautiful. We should share it with everybody.
And it's cute. I mean, because you have these young dancers dancing.
And they didn't really get a chance to perform much in the past 2 years, have they?
In front of live audiences.
Right.
We did Nutcracker this year, but it was viral. We put it on video.
Not the same.
But hey, the girls got to do the dance again. Mm-hmm. That's the main thing.
Jeannie still works her magic. I mean, she's been around long enough. She can figure it out. You know, she had the girls. They still were able to maintain, was it 3 feet of distance or 5 feet? I don't remember exactly.
Well,
for the Nutcracker.
Okay. After 10 minutes, we had to make sure they were more than 6 feet. Okay. But hey, the Nutcracker came off. This is wonderful. We have a wonderful area here. When people see it, they love it. I love it here, and it's a great place to raise kids.
Yeah.
So give us some of the other nonprofits that you work with that you want to plug, that you're involved with, and why you're still involved with some of the other ones. You mentioned the Little
CASA,
Ballet.
The Little Ballet, when I was with Regatta, if somebody applying for a princess was a dancer with Little Ballet Theater, a soccer player, or Key Club, I would vote for him. And by the way, more queens for Regatta come out of those three. And the other thing I do is the Clatsop, give them help with teaching it when they bring the kids out for discovery time. Hey, I meet kids in the fourth grade that when they get to high school, they're fantastic. We have kids for the future.
Yeah.
So if you were going to tell somebody that had a cash donation they wanted to make to just one organization, that's all they could afford, which organization? And if somebody said, I've got some free time, I want to volunteer, and that's all I can do, what organization would you steer each one of those two people to?
Ooh.
I know it's like choosing your favorite child.
It is. Hey, any of the ones I mentioned, yes, with kids. But Little Ballet Theater, anything to do with soccer, and one more, CASA.
Oh, yes.
Excellent. Yeah, we didn't even get into CASA. Wow. Yeah. Well, thank you so much. You do so much for the community. I know everybody has seen you, even if they don't know you. They certainly have been involved in things that you've helped make this community better in. So thank you. Go make some history. We'll catch you next week.
Thank you for joining us for An Adventure in History. An Adventure in History is created and produced by the Clatsop County Historical Society and brought to you by KMUN.